Evening. We're also delighted to have our sister Jenny Graham with us from Banbridge. You're very welcome to Sandown. She wasn't sure how to get here, up in the big smoke and all the rest of it, but she made it here and we're glad to have you. Jenny, God bless you. I'm going to ask you to come now and tell us what the Lord has done for you in your life. Lord bless you.
Do you know, I'm just going to say what her brother said. We never get sick of the cross. In the cross, be my glory ever. I wonder, dear friend, can you say that tonight? In the cross of Jesus Christ, be your glory ever. Do you know, it is lovely to be here, though. To be honest, I'd rather be listening to you ladies singing. But it is always good to be able to speak a word from God. And this morning, as I was sitting in church, I just opened my Bible, and I must have underlined this at some stage. I'm not sure when I did it, but the words that I read was this: "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." I thought that just sums me up okay. "Declaring unto you the testimony of God." And therefore I stand before you tonight, and yes, it is a testimony, and yes, it is a very personal thing. And throughout this testimony, you will hear the word "I." But whenever you hear the word I would like to declare before I start, you know, there really is only one "I" in this testimony, and that is, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. It is a testimony of God and how God changes a life. And before I start, can I ask you a question? How have you come into this meeting tonight? You see, we live in a day where good is called evil and evil is called good. And we also live in a day whenever we do a lot of pretending, don't we? For example, sometimes in church we can be the greatest actors or actresses. And maybe you say, well, what are you talking about, Jeannie? Well, you could have woke up this morning and had such a terrible day. And maybe even a very tearful day. And maybe a very fearful day. And then you walk in through the doors and someone shakes your hand and someone says to you, "How are you?" And you've cried all day and you put a big smile on your face and you say, "I'm doing all right." And yet, for a little moment, God would invite you to come and be still and know that I am God. You see, we don't have to pretend with our God. We can come and we can just unveil the cloak that we would cover up ourselves in front of other people. And we can be real with the three times holy God. And we can be sure that he is touched. He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And he knows exactly where we are at this present time. If you are here and unsaved, you are not here by chance. God has drawn you here with the cords of his love. If you're here and you're a backslider, again, he has drawn you here by the cords of his love. And for us that are blood washed and blood bought, he has still drawn us here. Because he has a word for you and he has a word for me. We live in a day that seems hopeless. And yet, Ezekiel put it very well. There is a little phrase. It's Ezekiel 37. And there's one little phrase in verse 11. And it says, "Our hope is lost." Our hope is lost. Is that where the enemy has you tonight? He has you blinded, that you think that you're beyond redemption, that perhaps you have tried and tried and tried again, and perhaps you think you could not come to the cross afresh. Perhaps you have failed over and over, and you feel your hope is lost, and yet the Word of God says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, "May the God of all hope..." You see, he is our hope. You see, the trouble is there's too many I. And instead of coming to the one and laying it all at the foot of the old rugged cross, we think of I. "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Do you know, I wasn't born into a Christian home, but whenever I was a little girl, my daddy worked at, I'm from Banbridge originally, and my daddy, he worked in a bar at the top of the town in Banbridge. It was Shepherd's Pub for many years. And whenever I was about 3, my daddy got saved. And I honestly don't remember an awful lot about that, but I do remember this, that it just, I didn't know the reason, of course, then. But then now, looking back, and as I got a little older, I sure did know the reason for the automatic change in our home. You see, one minute we're allowed to do anything, and the next minute, it just seemed as if it was my daddy's role to enroll me to every single meeting going on in Banbridge Town. Why? Because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, because all things become new. And whenever the Lord took my father out of that pub, he put a new song in his heart. And we were enrolled into the Banbridge congregation. And I remember at the end of my first year in Sunday school, I don't remember an awful lot about it, but I do remember this. It was Children's Day. And I heard that message afresh, ye must be born again. Isn't it wonderful that whenever we open up the sacred page, it has nothing to do with us. It's all to do with Christ. And the Bible says ye must be born again. As a little girl at the age of 4, I remember praying that little prayer, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know the wonderful thing about it is he did just that. You see, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? He is not interested in denomination. He is not interested in Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Hindu. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And just as a little girl, that faith-like prayer come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I wonder right at the outset of this, have you prayed that prayer, come into my heart, Lord Jesus? You see, that is a very solemn thing, because the old enemy wants to blind so many people, because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you remember not last Thursday, but the Thursday before in the heavy snow? I'm not sure if you had the heavy snow here, but we had some snow in Banbridge, so it is. And, you know, for many years, I would have went to a dear uncle of mine, a great uncle, my Uncle Joe. And time again, I would have said, Joe, you need to be born again. Joe, you need to be saved. And he was such a gracious, lovely man. And yet, to his reply to me every single time was, Jeannie, I am okay. I did not do anyone any harm. I remember the very last conversation I had with him, and I said, here, I'm going again, Joe, I'm going on at you again, but it's not me that's saying it, it's the Bible that's saying it, ye must be born again. And as I left his house that day, I knew in my heart that that was the very last time that I would give that challenge to that dear old man. And then 2 Thursdays ago, we stood at his graveside. My dear friend, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not his heart. You see, as a wee girl, I thought myself a little bit of a singer. Now, if you heard my singing, girls, you would know why our brother never asked me to sing. In fact, I'll give you a wee snippet of it. A few years ago, before my daddy died, we were driving along in the car, and just as you were singing about leading, that just brought it afresh into my mind. And he loved the song, he leadeth me, by his dear hand, he leadeth me. So he was very ill at this time, and I thought, he was only 66 years of age, he was 64 whenever I sang this, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to encourage this man, I'm going to sing to him. So I was driving along, and I started with all the power that was in my heart to sing as beautiful as what I could, he leadeth me. And you know the way we say, and pride comes before fall. So I'm driving along and I'm just finished and thought, that didn't go too badly. And he's sitting beside me and he looked at me like that. He said, I wish a really good singer would sing that to me. But you know, I wonder, can you say from the bottom of your heart, he leadeth me? As a wee girl, I used to sing, a sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for him. Remember another children's day, and we were singing that. There's about 8 of us, I think, and we were singing that. And it was in my heart that I thought to myself that if I shouted it at the top of my voice, that Jesus would really know that I wanted to be a sunbeam for him. I think the organist nearly had a heart attack, because she had practiced so beautifully with us for such a long time. And then when I get up on children's day and really maybe ruin it all at shouting at the top of my voice. But really in my heart, I really meant that. As a wee girl, whenever I grow up, I'm going to be a missionary for God. Whenever I grow up, I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mouth. I'm going to be a sunbeam for Christ. And yet, you will know if you are blood-bought and you are blood-washed that we have an enemy at our back. And he wants to ransack and he wants to destroy our lives. And he will use this temptation and that temptation. And your struggle will not be my struggle. And my struggle will not be your struggle. But he will come in like a flood. And while I say he will come in like a flood, maybe you're crippled with fear whenever I say that. And yet Jesus says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I have given you a spirit of sound mind. And Jesus also said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of our God, our three times holy God, will lift up a standard against him. But whenever the enemy come in like a flood in my life, instead of me running to the Word of God, instead of me praying and trusting in the Holy One to lead me, I took my eyes off him. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. You see, it was okay as a wee girl going to all the meetings. I didn't really mind that. In fact, I loved that. But whenever I was in high school and I'm starting to look around, when my friends are allowed to go to teenage discos, and it just seemed in my heart, I just thought the only word that my daddy knew to say to me was no. And yet, I didn't realize that my father probably wept before he said no to me. That my father was trying to obey the Lord by saying, train up Jeannie in the way she shall go, and when she is old, she shall not depart from it. He was trying to protect me. He was being a loving father. But what did I do? I took my eyes off the Lord, and I'll never forget that first disco that I went to. And of course, my daddy didn't know I was there, because if he did, well, I'll say no more. You know rightly what would have happened if he had knew I was there. And you see, that was my first step. I never woke up saying, I'm going to backslide. I never woke up thinking I was going to walk a walk that I walked. But sin will take us down a path we never imagined that we would go. You see, whenever I took that first step to disobedience to my father, I had a rebellious heart. A rebellious heart. And then whenever I went into the disco, then shortly after, that was one step led to another step, led to outside that disco, led to a bottle of drink being placed into my hand, and led to that being put to my mouth. One wee drink won't do you any harm. Oh, my friend, is that right? You see, drink is a poison. Alcohol is a drug which is a poison. You put it into your mouth, it goes on a journey and it trickles down your throat and it goes through your food pipe and it causes cancer in your mouth box, it causes cancer in your throat, it causes cancer in your food pipe. It brings on heart attacks, it brings on strokes. My uncle, at the age of 62, last words I said to him with my arms around him was, Uncle Q, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Jeannie, I am saved. I said a wee prayer one day. But Uncle Q, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Within a number of weeks, he was partying with my other uncle, who's a lovely man. If you have an alcoholic addiction, I'm not here to ransack you. In fact, you come and talk to me and I'll storm the throne of grace, because God is able to set you free. And God loves you with an everlasting love. And yet that was the last conversation I had. Why? Because my uncle took a heart attack in that party between him and the other uncle, and he went out into eternity. Alcohol brings on heart attacks. Alcohol brings on strokes. For the last 10 years around about of my auntie's life, she couldn't walk or talk. Why? Because of alcoholism. I would have went in and sat beside her and said, Julie, you need to get right with God. Julie, I love Jesus. And then I would have went to give her a kiss goodbye, and down beside her would have been the booze. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Of course, it can cause ulcers to the stomach, and then it gets to here. You see, God has given us sound mind. But if the enemy can attack the mind and get us not knowing what we are doing, the enemy will ransack our lives. Of course, alcoholism can shrink this part of the brain. My daddy, he binge drank whenever he was younger. And then in his middle years, as I've already told you, he got saved. And then when he's just a little bit older than me, he realized that things were going terribly wrong in his body. He went to get that MRI scan, and it proved that because of alcoholism many years before, that the front part of his brain had shrunk. And the devil will say, you're missing out. The devil will say, one drink never did you any harm. But that one drink will lead to another, will lead to another. And the enemy will ransack your life. At the age of 14, I was already pregnant. I didn't tell my daddy until I was 15. I remember thinking to myself, he is going to kill me when he comes through that door. But when my father found out that I was pregnant, he had a choice to make, and the choice was this. He was either going to continue to be a stepping stone for Christ, or he would be a stumbling block. You see, he that is among us without sin, let him cast the first stone. Yes, surely I was pregnant, and here was my sin, and it was for the whole world to see. But you know, so many people close the door and the computer sin. The computer screen is full of sin. We maybe don't even have to go to the computer screen. Our hearts are full of sin. Can I ask you a question? Are you in Christ? Are you a new creature? And of course, do you know, maybe there is a young person, and as I can see, there is. And maybe you think, well, she's going to stand there and she's going to dress it all up as black as what she can get, because there's bound to be pleasure in it. Well, of course there's pleasure in it, because the Bible says there's pleasure in it. There's pleasure in it, but it's only for a season. I remember a time, and it was just before I got married. You see, I had that little boy called Kyle. I had him at the age of 15, and then I moved out of my family home whenever I was 17, and then my little home became a drinking den. Then I met my husband. And then we had another baby, and then we planned to get married. And just before we got married, I bet you're sitting there saying to yourself, thank the Lord she's not my daughter. And then just before we were getting married, there was one night this gentleman from next door, or he wasn't from next door, but he is visiting next door. And he came in, so he did, and I found out that he could get us chickens for £1 apiece. I thought, this is great news. A wee chicken for a pound, sure, that's great. So the more drunker I got, the more chickens I ordered. And my husband said to me, he wasn't my husband then, but Gordon says to me, Jeannie, do you know how many chickens you've ordered? And I said, oh, yeah, but he's to come the next Friday night. And there's no one in their right mind. I know that I was drunk. He'll not bring that many chickens. Well, the next Friday night came, and lo and behold, at the time he was meant to come. And I opened the back door and I nearly fainted, because in came one box of chickens and two boxes of chickens, and before I knew it, there was 50 chickens on my kitchen floor. And yes, there is pleasure, and we can say there's laughs and sin. But friend, it is only for a season. A sunbeam, a sunbeam. I never imagined as I stood as a wee girl, I'm going to be a missionary for Christ. When I opened that door, that the enemy would come in like a flood. I never thought I would be pregnant and have a baby at 15. And thank the Lord it did, for he's a blessing and welcome with God. Can I just pause there? What did God think about me having that wee baby? Now, please don't misunderstand me. You and I both know that wasn't God's plan for my life. And yet, while we have a breath in our body, we have a Heavenly Father that is willing to forgive us no matter what we do. You see, at that present time, the Lord spoke right into a prison cell. My daddy was a prisoner, or prison officer. He wasn't a prisoner. He was a medic. There was probably only by the grace of God he wasn't a prisoner. But he was a medic, and there was a prisoner in a prison cell. And I don't know how he found out about me. But the Lord spoke right into that prison cell. I have never met this person before. I think he's a brother in Christ. But do you know those big old white handkerchiefs the old boys have? Brother, show them your handkerchief there. Well, I'll not be allowed back. Well, he got a big white handkerchief, and he painted on one side a cartoon character, and on the other side, he wrote these words, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." Can you feel the love of Jesus? Hopelessness. There is no hopeless people with Christ, because his blood is able to forgive and his blood is able to transform every life. Sin took me further. I never thought I'd take those wee baby intercoms and plug it into a wall and go to the neighbour's house and get full drunk. I never thought that I would be the mummy to end up at the school with the carry-out bags in my hand. I never thought that I would be the mummy that didn't know what had happened the night before. I never thought that I would be the mummy that the house was ransacked and the house was a mess. I came to a hopeless situation. My dear friend, tonight, could there be one at Wits End Corner? Well, if you're at Wits End Corner tonight, praise the Lord, for it's a good place to be, because you know you need a Saviour. Oh, my friend, at Wits End Corner, it's a good place to be, because there is where you'll find Jesus. I remember just praying that little prayer. I got down on my knees on the 12th of November, 1995. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I just prayed that little prayer, Lord, would you take me back? And I also prayed this, would you take the very desire of the booze out of my life? You see, I give up in plans for me. So many times I had so many plans. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop the mouth. I'm going to stop the fighting. I'm going to stop. I'm going to do this. And I had all my plans in my mind. But they just led to no town, no man's land. And yet, whenever I got down on my knees and called upon him, God says, for I know the thoughts, or I know the plans that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Their thoughts are plans of good and of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the second I came to him and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't, but you can. Just like that, totally transformed. My friend, that was over 22 years ago. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Do you see, there is hope. There is hope for the hopeless. If you are unsaved, Jesus says, come and I will give you life. If you are a backslider, there is hope for the backslider. He says, if you return to him, he will return to you. And can I just end with this here? Maybe there is a dear saint here, and maybe your heart is broken. And you know, for every dear saint, because there has been many times over these 22 years, over 22 years, where I have been in the mountain. And being on the mountain is a wonderful place to be, isn't it? And yet, this is a real world. And there has been many, many times whenever I have been in the valley. But praise God, for every single time that I have been in the valley, I have had a staff to lean on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. I have had a shepherd to keep me. Do you know, in 2010, as I started off telling you about my dad took dementia in the brain, so he did, and he ended up, so he did, with cancer in his stomach. But that journey began in 2010, well, severely began then. And it was a little time after that, and there was a time when my father, and this has been on my heart all day, in 2 minutes, and then I end it. But it's on my heart for a reason, because every time I said, Lord, what will I say? How will I end it? How will I end it? This is the thing kept coming into my mind. And dear saint of God, there's hope for you, because you have a shepherd, one that is touched, a high priest that is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. And as we heard about my daddy's illness, and there was a time whenever he couldn't walk on properly on his own, and one night I went into the hospital and he was actually had no clothes on him because he couldn't even bear that. And they had to push a little table in front of him and put a blanket over the table just for his dignity in front of me. And then they transferred him to another hospital, and he hadn't been able to walk properly, or he couldn't talk, and he was biting everything. And I had went to this hospital. He had been admitted late on the Thursday night, and it was St. Luke's in Armagh, and I had went over on the Thursday or on the Sunday afternoon or the Sunday at this time. And whenever I had went over, I had got the visiting times all wrong. Now, friend, this does not make sense. because my daddy couldn't talk, so he couldn't. And yet as I looked through those windows, because the doors were locked as it was not visiting hours, all I could hear is my father. He was strapped into the chair, and all I could hear through that wall, through those windows, was screaming, "Jeannie, help, Jeannie, help." And there was a time when I could not trace God's hand. And maybe you tried, believer, here tonight, and there's a time, and it's right here, right now, and you don't know why this disaster has come into your life. And the enemy would tell you that Jesus doesn't care about you. And God says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness." God says, "I'm not a high priest that is not touched by the feelings of your infirmities." He says he careth for you. And if God brings it to us, my friend, you can be sure that it is for our good and his glory. I went into that hospital ward. I told those nurses, of course, they had strapped him in because they were very worried about his safety. But I told them how he was a prison officer and how, as a little girl, we got these death threats and how he thought, would think in his mind, "You're the terrorist trying to kill us." And maybe there is a Roman Catholic person in here that used to be terrorist, but I want to say tonight there's no difference. There's no difference between the Protestants and the Catholics. There's only difference between the saved and the unsaved. But nevertheless, they continued with those straps, thinking that that was for his own safety. I phoned three men and asked three ministers, would they pray that God would take my father home? You see, it was a time when I couldn't trace God's hand. It seemed a hopeless time. It even seemed a pointless thing. And yet why? Why would the Lord of glory, who loves me, allow us to walk through such a dark valley? Well, that was on the Monday that I made those phone calls. And on the Wednesday, his blood pressure had went through the roof and he was transferred over to Craigavon Hospital. The doctor then told us a few days after that that he only would have a couple of days to live. And then I said, "So you're telling me that my daddy will be dead on the Wednesday?" And he said, "That's the following Wednesday." "Yes, I am." I put him over it again and I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes, I am." And yet in that little hospital ward, as my father lay there, hadn't that food, was deteriorating away, it was just a pitiful sight. Now, I don't need to tell you or to ask you, do you know, was my heart broke? And yet I was thinking, thank you, Lord, you're going to bring him home. You're going to set him free. In that hospital ward here was another man, and there was a priest here. You know, the Lord gave me opportunity to speak. And whenever I was witnessing to this man here, the priest turned round and said to me, "Excuse me, dear." And then he said, "No, it's okay." And I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" Now, as I prayed for that man, I don't know what happened in his heart, if anything happened in his heart. But I'm as sure as this, it was an appointment for God, giving the man a chance to get right with him. He was to be dead on the Wednesday, and on the Friday I went into that hospital ward and he's sitting in a little chair beside the bed and he's singing, "Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name." We had a wee prayer service in that hospital. It was a miracle from God. And then he bowed his head and he started to pray. And as he prayed, he says, "Our sufficiency is in the precious blood of Christ." And just like that, God opened my eyes. And he says, "Jeannie, this is your father's mission field. And I have had to bring him this way so that these men will hear the gospel." And for the next just over nearly 2 years, he was in a nursing home. And I'm not going to tell you that I didn't go home at night and put a pillow over my head and cry to my Savior to help me through the night. I'm not going to tell you that it was an easy time, because it wasn't. But I will tell you that there's power in prayer. And I will tell you that God says, "I will give thee the treasures of darkness." You see, every time we walked around that little nursing home, he could not have a proper conversation many times. Well, sometimes he could. But he always could sing the songs of Zion. On the 25th of October 2013, he was promoted to glory. Just after that, I was reading in my daily reading, and that little verse that I keep quoting, "I will give thee the treasures of darkness." And I also read this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works do follow them. I remember talking to the Lord about this and saying, So Lord, you're telling me that you're going to give me a treasure out of this darkness, and it's about my Father and his works. This mission field, this darkness that he has been asked to walk, is going to follow him right into the glory. Now, of course, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew the answer was yes, Jeannie, that's exactly what I'm telling you, because that's what I've just spoke to you through the word. I went to my son that very day, my oldest son, Kyle, who had not long got saved and was still going out with a wee girl. And I said to him, Kyle, because he kept saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do in the situation? And I says, Kyle, I believe that the Lord has spoke today, and I believe that he's going to save Nadine. And there's the verses why. I went to bed that night, and, well, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Of course, you look to your phone to see how many thousands of texts you've during the night, don't you? And the next morning, she had no idea about the verses. In fact, she tried to text Kyle all night, and he was in his bed sleeping. Do you know what the question was on the text messages? Kyle, do you have to be saved to be in church? Well, the answer to that is no, but if you're in church tonight, don't leave without Jesus, for how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? That text message said, Jeannie, I just want to tell you that I got saved. I said, Nadine, when I saw her, why did you do it? She said, because whenever I sat in your daddy's funeral, for the very first time, I saw that Jesus died for me. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. His works just followed him into glory. My dear saint, whatever trial you're going through, he says those waters will not overflow you. And only God can take a mess and make it a message, but we have to let him do that in our lives. We have to let him guide us. If you are not saved tonight, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Thank you very much for coming this evening and telling what the Lord has done in your life. May the Lord be pleased to bless that word and to write that word upon our hearts. And thank God tonight there is no hope. There are no hopeless cases with the Saviour. It matters not how far we go into sin, yet the Lord says he can still save us. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I just want to leave with you a couple of verses this evening as we bring our service to a conclusion. It's found in Mark's Gospel and the verses 14 and 15. As I considered what we would speak on this evening, my mind was turned to another passage, but late last night, the Lord brought us to these two verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, the verses 14 and 15. Again, I want to thank Jeannie for coming, sharing with us this evening. I never used those handkerchiefs, Jeannie. I'm not that refined, but there's a man upstairs in the gallery who's having convulsions, and I think John Kennedy uses them. So if you want to see one, he's of that generation, and you'll be able to get his handkerchief. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 14. It says, Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, as you read the record of his earthly ministry, had a tremendous purpose and drive. It kept him going as he walked on this scene of time. That drive, of course, was to take him to Calvary and there to offer himself a sacrifice for sin. Christ went to the cross to die, to pay the ransom for sin. And the Gospel of Mark, as you read through it, is very much taken up with that theme of Christ being the servant. And Christ in his life very much served man. But most especially, Christ in his death served man. Because in verse 10, verse 45 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, a verse which really for me sums up this entire Gospel, we read, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Christ came with one purpose, and that was to save sinners like Jeannie Graham and every other sinner who has come by faith to Christ to save us from sin. But on his way to the cross, Christ took up his days of ministry with service. And we find Christ here in verse 14 coming into the city called Galilee. And we read here not of what he did, but of what he said. And these were very powerful words as he came into this city. We get a further insight, I believe, into the heart of Christ. We see what it was that drove him. Christ didn't come, folks, to leave a good example. Christ didn't come to do many great miracles. Christ didn't come to heal the sick and lame, although he did all that. This was what drove Christ. Because in verse 14 we read that he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. There in those words at the end of verse 14, we have this man's, this God-man's passion and drive in his ministry. It was the message of the gospel. Notice the simplicity of the message. It's summed up there in that word gospel. The gospel itself, it means good news. It's a message of hope. You see, it's a message of good news for men tonight. Because as we've been told already this evening, we're all born in sin. We all have that problem of sin within us, and it's that sin that brings the wrath of God and the condemnation of God. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And that reality is made all the worse by the truth that there is nothing that you or I can do to turn away the wrath of God. You see, sinner, in this meeting tonight, as you sit in this gospel service, in this church on the Sandown Road, there is nothing that you can do to turn away the wrath of God that is abiding on your head right now because of sin. But the gospel tells us of one who came to satisfy the wrath of God. Christ, as he came, he preached the gospel, not of works, not of what man can do to merit salvation. We didn't hear tonight a testimony of what Jeannie Graham could do to gain her salvation. It's all of what Christ did for her. The gospel message is that God sent his Son into this world to save sinners from sin. Christ, as he went, preached that gospel that centered on him, because without Christ tonight there is no gospel. Without Christ tonight there is no good news. Without Christ tonight, there is no reconciliation, there is no salvation. And folks, that is why we come to the tree at Calvary. That's why we come to the tomb in the garden. But more than that, that's why we come to the throne in heaven. Because on the tree, Christ died. From the tomb, Christ arose. And on the throne, Christ reigns. And folks, that's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And tonight he lives, a prince and a savior and a king forevermore. And you see, tonight you can trust him. You can cast all of your care and your sin upon him. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news. That's the hope tonight that we bring in a world of hopelessness. The simplicity of the message. You know, so many people across our country tonight, they believe there must be something more. They believe there has to be something more. Surely a man on a cross could never save my soul. But thank God That man on the middle cross was not any man. He was the God-man, and he came to save your soul from sin. He came to set you free. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And there's the seriousness as well of this message, because Christ says there in verse 15, the kingdom of God is at hand. What is the kingdom of God? Well, in a general sense, it's all about God's rule and his sovereignty over all his creation. It means that, you see, we're all accountable to God. Sinner in this meeting tonight, you meet God still in your sin. And on that day of judgment, you would wish that you were not accountable to God. But because of the kingdom of God, because you are God's creation, you are accountable for what you have done in your life with the gospel. You will be held accountable. There'll be no hiding from the jurisdiction of God there. There'll be no seeking to run from God. The kingdom of God is at hand. This kingdom, in a more specific sense, it speaks about that spiritual kingdom for all who will enter into and receive the message of the gospel and come into the kingdom of God in that very specific sense when they're saved by grace. And Christ, when he says there, the kingdom of God is at hand, he's saying the gospel, the message that he came to preach and they came to declare, is available and accessible. We're not telling you tonight something that's hidden. We're not telling you tonight something that is remote and distant. We're not telling you something tonight that's a secret. As we said this morning, it is no secret what God can do. Well, this message tonight of the gospel is available, is accessible, it's at hand. You can come tonight and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can come. But this message here as well, the seriousness of it, also I believe brings before us the fact that, yes, Christ came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, seated at the Father's right hand, he's a king. But that same Lord is coming again. He came the first time as a redeemer. The next time he's coming now as judge. And the question is, are you ready to meet him? If Christ were to burst through the clouds tonight, would you be ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet God? Are you saved tonight? Have you received this gospel message? If Christ were to return right now, how would you stand before him? There was an urgency in this message that Christ preached. Sometimes we get accused of trying to urge sinners to do something they really shouldn't do or can't do of themselves. And it's only the free sovereign grace and working of the Holy Spirit of God that will bring any sinner to Christ. I know that. But here is Christ with great urgency, and he's pleading with sinners. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's an urgency tonight. Oh, that you would see the urgency of your soul. Oh, that you would be prepared to meet God. Oh, he didn't come in verse 15 and tell them about the kingdom of God and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and as something for debate. And you go away and think about it. You go away and have a consideration about it. No, he said it's at hand. This is something you need to be prepared for now. There's the simplicity of this message. There's the seriousness of this message. Finally and quickly as we close, here is the summons in this message. What does he say? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Here's the summons of the message. Repent and believe the gospel. I am amazed as to how people can make the gospel so complicated and so convoluted. Thank God tonight for the simple, plain message of the gospel. Repent. Repentance towards God is an acknowledgement of your sin. It's a turning from your sin. It's an owning up to your sin. It's a realization that there's nothing that you can do to merit God's salvation. It's a removal of all pride and stubbornness in your heart. And then there's faith. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith's the easy bit, isn't it? It's easy for anybody to say, oh, I believe. What does the Lord mean there when he talks about repent and believe the gospel? It talks about an absolute, total dependence and acceptance of all the claims of the gospel. To believe the gospel is not just something in your head. To believe the gospel is to acknowledge that before God you're a sinner. To believe the gospel is to acknowledge that before God there is no hope for you apart from Christ. To believe the gospel is to accept that Christ is your only Savior. All the claims of the gospel come upon you when you believe in the gospel. When you exercise saving faith in the gospel. And as I've said, in some ways that's the easy bit. The big problem is the repenting. The repenting. People don't want to acknowledge that they're a sinner. Oh yes, look at those down and out in society, those who have committed awful crimes. Oh yes, but not me. I live a good life, done nothing wrong. All born in sin. And that sin will damn us in hell. Sinner, tonight, you've got to acknowledge that before God you're lost. We were thinking last Lord's Day evening of the penitent thief on the cross. He had to acknowledge that he was only fit for hell before he could be ready for heaven. Have you ever repented of your sin? Have you ever believed the gospel? Thank God tonight for those who will repent, for those who will believe, for those who will come to Christ, you will be saved. As Jeannie was saying this evening, salvation brings a change. Brings a change. You see, the Lord whom he saves by the power of the gospel, there's a change in the life. There must be. And listen, if a life has never been changed by grace, we've got to wonder, has it ever been saved by grace in the first place? Because the gospel brings a change. All things, we've heard that verse over and over again. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You see, this is the message that transforms. This is the good news. This is the hope tonight in a world where there is nothing but hopelessness. Sinner, Christ came to save you. He died on the cross to wash away your sin. He came to open up that way to God that your sins could be forgiven and pardoned. He came. Will you tonight come to him? This is not something we can put off. This is not something for another time. This is something we need to get settled now. Repent and believe the gospel. Will you do that tonight? Will you come to Christ? Will you leave your sin? Will you start for heaven tonight?